one-week seasons, man. That's it. Got to take it 1-0, one game at a time. Thought we did some good things today. I did some bad things today. You know, some stuff to clean up, some things to learn from. But we'll grow from it. It's all that matters is surviving and advancing. It doesn't matter how we win, it's if we win. And proud of our guys for playing the way they did.
Josh Allen, after yesterday's 34-31 win over the Miami Dolphins. The Dolphins were the biggest underdogs ever in the wild card round at 13 points. They acquitted themselves well. They played well. They gave the Bills everything they could handle. Skylar Thompson, even though you look at the numbers coming in, the rookie seventh rounder, two rookie seventh rounders starting playoff games this weekend. Brock Purdy got the win, and Skylar Thompson almost did for the Miami Dolphins. It was an exciting game that took forever. It just, you know, 17-0 no longer means anything.
Nothing, right?
17-0 is like 7-0
used to be. 27-0 means nothing, apparently.
Yeah. You know, we're talking about that one, too.
Yeah, it is amazing. How leads can evaporate this day and age in the NFL. It's almost hard to put your finger on it exactly to what makes it happen so quickly now. But I almost feel like the Bills a little bit with the Bengals. Same kind of thought. Like, yeah, you won the game. Yeah, there was some big plays made. And I see, you know, the potential, and they're dangerous. But, damn, I mean, the game was concerning in more ways than not, too. But we can get into the same old things. I mean, again, it is too Josh Allen centric. You know, that does bother me. They're not a running game that they can consistently lean on to dominate that way, right? He makes some of the damnedest plays you'll ever see, but miscues continue to be kind of an issue with this Buffalo Bills football team here. You know, that second half of the season, drop bomb. You know, to set up a short field, right? You're seeing here, Shakir, you're going to be in the red zone. Get the momentum back. Miss a wide-open shallow cross. Maybe the ball got tipped, you know? Have a guy open in the end zone and Dawson Knox. He doesn't catch it. Drop it, right? Kick the ball out of bounds when we're up 17-0. Give them the short field so they can make it 17-3. I mean, man, was it, you know, sloppy. Really, I mean, the Dolphins defense, the Dolphins special teams, they outplayed the Bills in two out of three phases. But like you said, it was Skylar Thompson, the offense for the Dolphins. They had their issues, and they just didn't have enough offense to kind of overcome it, and they couldn't just rely on the defense and special team to get the win, even though it kept them close.
Well, Jalen Waddle had those three.
Oh, the
Not
drops.
All three were drops.
But yes, but there were some big drops.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. But the guy who waddles like a penguin,
yeah,
playing like he had
they
penguin
dropped some
flippers
opportunities
for hands on
right.
A couple of them. I mean, and it just would have been one of those things that you get a play like that, it changes the momentum, it gives you belief. It really is amazing to me that they hung in there when it was more defensive stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it was the fumble return for the touchdown that
right.
gave them the lead.
The Xavier Howard interception where John Brown stopped. He had the big return, right? You know, we had that play. Of course, like you talked about, or we just saw in the highlight there, it's Cole Beasley running a curl route. Nobody's worried about Cole Beasley running by them, so they're going to sit there and sit on it. And then Josh Allen tries to, you know, get it in there. Ball gets tipped up in the air, interception. So, yeah, I mean, There was a big punt return by the Dolphins at one point that set up a field goal. There was a number of plays they made or things that we just go for Bills that I think you and I are holding them to that Super Bowl standard to go, that wasn't a Super Bowl-type performance right there. But hopefully it's one of those things that wakes their butt up a little bit after a win and go, wait, we better play better. Because, you know, this is not going to get it done if they want to win the Super Bowl. Maybe play the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game. Some of these mistakes they made in this football game, it just was, you know, you can't do that in the playoffs.
Got chippy there. Christian Wilkins, Josh Allen gave him the big push. And, you know, the umpire getting in the middle of it. I don't know why they get in the middle of it. I don't know why you feel compelled to break it up. Go ahead.
That was impressive.
Flag them, kick guys out if you have to. I don't know why you're putting yourself in harm's way. You're not wearing a helmet. You're not wearing shoulder pads. And you're old. Stay the hell out. Let them sort it out and kick guys out if they cross the line. It's not like little kids out there fighting. It's grown-ass men, and they're stronger and bigger than you. I'm looking at the stats for the Bills' offense. I mean, Devin Singletary, 10 carries for 48 yards. James Cook, 12 for 39. He did have a touchdown.
It's never –
And I keep looking for Nyheim Hines.
Right.
I thought two touchdown returns on the kickoff last week would maybe get Ken Dorsey to come up with something. Let's come up with something where we get the ball in his hands in a spot where it simulates the broken field nature of a kick return, where you're running through bodies and people can't get their hands on you and you just zoom right by him. He was on the field for 10 offensive plays. He had 2 targets for 1 catch for 7 yards. That's it. I mean, you've got a hell of a weapon as you're trying to diversify your offense. And Chris, this Josh Allen thing, the narrative continues. Too many turnovers this year. They released the AP All-Pro team. You and I both voted on it somehow. Somebody, I guess, I don't know. I guess a lot of people had to say no for us to get votes. But he wasn't even the second team All-Pro quarterback. It was Patrick Mahomes and then Jalen Hurts. I mean, people are paying attention to the Josh Allen turnover reality.
Right.
Because it's not getting any better.
Well, I understand that. But, again, like we're talking there. I mean, Jalen Hurts is throwing to 2 guys who run 4-3 and are superstars. He's throwing a curl route to Cole Beasley that nobody else in football wants him even on their team. That's why we tried to have this conversation, a little bit. He's throwing a deep route to John Brown. Nobody in football wants John Brown. He's on the Bills because they don't have enough firepower. We've talked about this a little bit. And then so it's all Josh Allen. That's where it's not fair. And, he makes some of the damnedest plays ever. All right, so they ask a lot of them. I mean, again, look what we saw yesterday. They move the ball. Why? Because he makes plays where we go, are you effing kidding me with that throw? So you got to live with a little bit of the negative that way too. But, yeah, they need to understand the moment a little bit better. I think that's where Josh Allen messed up yesterday. His plays were magical, but understand, like here, playing Skylar Thompson, right? Like, don't throw the ball up in the air, jump ball up 17-3, right, to let Xavier Howard get it, right? That's the one where I think the coaches are going to go, Josh, we're in control of the game. Like, that was the only thing that was going to get them back in it, right? So I know they got the win, but, yeah, he can learn to dial it back at times and go – that's where Burrow, I think, has an advantage over him. Burrow understands the game. Oh, wait, I'm playing this guy. I'm not going to take a chance. They'll mess it up, right? Where, what makes the Bills awesome is they attack and they're aggressive and all that, but sometimes they don't dial it back at the right time. And that's what kind of happened yesterday, at least in my feel of things.
It's almost like Josh Allen wants to will them to a 17-point lead.
Right.
Or just deliver the dagger. I just want to deliver the knockout punch. And the reality is they're not delivering the knockout punch to these teams.
No.
They have to scratch at fight and claw, Viking style. You got to accept the fact it's going to be a 3-hour fight or 4 hours, as yesterday's game ended up being, and you just got to hope that you have more points when it all ends. And, even with all that, and the Bills had a 10-point lead fairly late in the game, and the Dolphins wouldn't go away. There was a strange moment, the delay of game penalty that happened as the Dolphins were trying
for a fourth and one.
Get in field goal range. Here it is with 2:33 to go. The clock ticks down, and they were really slow to get the plays off.
This was a problem all day.
Yeah. And look, we talked about this yesterday. How much of it is the play caller not getting the play in? How much of it is the quarterback not being able to translate the play? But these are all things you better have figured out. The whole idea with Skylar Thompson being the starter and being named the starter fairly early in the week and Tua Tagovailoa being ruled out was Mike McDaniel wants to know who the guy is so he can get him ready. Okay, fine. He better be ready.
Yeah.
Not just to run the plays. He better be ready to call the plays. He better be ready to get to the huddle. He better be ready to get the play off. And here's Mike McDaniel talking about that late delay of game penalty that ultimately was the dagger for the Dolphins.
There was some communication that we had gotten the first down. So then we were deploying a group of players for the first and 10 call. And then it was articulated that, no, it was fourth down. It was communicated to me through the upstairs, from the headset, I think. I was standing by an official. I had just had gotten convicted information that it was a first down, so I don't really know exactly who it was from. It was probably the first time all year that had happened, so, you try to do your best.
Now, look, we're both Mike McDaniel fans, but I'm confused, Chris. You're down on the field, and they have big orange sticks and they have another one that has a 1, 2, 3, or 4 on.
Right. Well, I hear you.
I mean, I don't know why he's relying on somebody upstairs telling him to
cold,
get a first down.
Way?
No, no. I'm okay. just. I
yeah.
No, no.
Yeah, yeah you
I
turned the thermostat down. Well, you
I
were a little
it,
cold.
Hot.
You didn't want to admit it because you're like, wait, I'm the jerk that turned it down.
Usually about an hour and a half, and the temperature catches up with 63.5. I usually put it on.
But I hear you though.
Yeah. I.
Well, I think what happens is this sometimes, like as a play caller, right? Right. It's like. I can't remember who it was the play before. They were very close to the first down. It did look like, you know, I think sometimes as a coach, they see maybe the initial lineup of the referee. Sometimes we see a referee on the wrong side of the field do that, right?
Yeah.
And then
you see the chains move. Chains move
you
or they don't
right
move.
Down at your play sheet now because you're going, wait, I just saw him go like this, so it's first down. And then you're kind of looking, you look up and go, oh, wait, we changed here? But forget that play, Mike. You said it, right? That was an issue the whole game. You know, and I'm sure that really was part of the problem there on that 4th-and-1. But it looked like more times than not, and this is where I'm going to, you know, connect dots, or we didn't see these issues with the Dolphins all year long with any of the other quarterbacks. It seemed like it's a rookie playing in a tough environment. And we saw too many times other plays where they couldn't get out of the huddle or guys were breaking the huddle and then they were like coming back like, what did you say? And then you were like, you could see Skylar Thompson opening up his wristband again like, hey, no, yeah, you got the post route. And like, so there was obviously some of that, which you would expect with a younger quarterback in that situation. That was tough there. But, you know, the Bills, yeah, just sloppy. They can't do that. They can't. They're dangerous. We know that. Josh Allen is phenomenal. But, yes, he has lost that little feel of, you know, towing the line of crazy and towing the line of, like, tactically aggressive. And I think he's going a little bit more into the crazy mode a little bit, you know, the second half of the year, and that's hurt them.
Now, one last point before we take a break. Tua Tagovailoa's future. He was ruled out on Wednesday. And again, my understanding is Mike McDaniel likes to know who the quarterback's going to be, get the quarterback ready. If Tua's not cleared by Wednesday, we got to get somebody else ready to go. We can't just count on him getting cleared on Saturday. He's not going to be ready to play. Let's just get someone ready. And they got Skylar Thompson ready, but you know, almost ready enough to win the game. There was a report on Sunday from ESPN that Tua is expected back as the starting quarterback in 2023. Expected is a word that can go in a lot of different ways. After the game, Mike McDaniel was asked about it, and he said, I'd be a fool not to bring him back. We're ready to embrace him when he's cleared to play and when he's healthy. That's fine, too. They want to convince everybody that he's their guy. There's one thing they can do, and they can do it right now. They can pick up his fifth-year option. If you want us to believe that you're all in with Tua, just pick up his fifth-year option, and we'll believe it.
Yeah.
That's the easiest way to do it. Or sign him to a long-term contract. I don't think that it would be prudent at this point to make any broad determinations about Tua because he still hasn't been cleared from his latest concussion. And I know at some point he's going to be healthy again. He's going to be cleared to play again.
Yeah, right.
But how long is he going to stay healthy?
Yeah.
And how much of your season do you want to have put on the back burner because you brought in a backup or the backup to the backup because the backup gets injured too? And your season falls apart and you can't get to where you want to be because you don't have your best quarterback available to
right.
you. All the other great teams have their best quarterbacks available to them most of the time, if not all of the time. You rarely see great starting quarterbacks miss games. You rarely see it. You rarely see them get injured. They're protected, unlike any other player on the field except a punter or a kicker. So I just because ESPN reported he's expected to be back, just because McDaniel said what he said, I won't believe that he's truly the long-term guy until they pick up the fifth-year option or they sign him to a long-term deal. I think they have to consider their options. I mean, at the end of the day, you have to always be thinking, is there someone out there at this position who is better than who we have, who we can get, and we can move forward with that person instead of the one we have? It's a ruthless business, but that's how it works.
Yeah, agreed there. I mean, yeah, the potential, we saw what the Dolphins can be with Tua, but you know, to your point, this is a guy that's undersized, and there's a head concern, and that's going to scare any team to where they are going to evaluate the situation and kind of, you know, talk about the pluses and the minuses of it all together. And you know, Mike, I'm not no knowledge of this, but You know, this is one just where I sit here between what we talked about last segment and this segment, and I go Lamar Jackson, and will he will be with Baltimore and Miami situation.
Have
I have a hard
capital.
Time.
They don't have the draft
yeah,
capital.
Right, they'd have problem. To trade some players for sure to get along with that. Yeah, I know. And but it's I do make that connection a little bit, or think about if there's a real possibility of that in the offseason.
Well, and Lamar's from Miami, and right. that's been the speculation for a while that maybe right. he'd like to get back to Miami, but he doesn't want to be the bad guy and stand up and say, I want to go to Miami, and I don't want to play for the Ravens anymore. But again, back to that point, at some point something's got to give, and maybe something's
well, sometimes
give
you're gonna have to
Miami
be the bad guy because people are starting to think he's the bad guy now
that's
anyway
right.
so
you
you're
may,
not
may as well be the bad
guy
if they
right.
already think if they're making you the bad guy you
right.
may as well go ahead and be
that's
the bad
what I mean.
Guy
right,
right? let's
right.
go ahead and take a break. The Chargers had more than a few bad guys that they can point to after they had a historic collapse against the Jaguars. What a night it was in Jacksonville on Saturday. We'll talk about that one when PFT Live continues right after this.
...36-yarder from the right hash to win the game. Cook puts it down. Patterson's kick is up. The field goal is good! 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 The Jaguars have won it! The Jaguars have won it! They have come back from 27-0 to win the game and move on! How good is that?
Riley Patterson, looking all 12 years old with the game-winning kick. I tell you, if that goalpost had 5 o'clock shadow and that football was a razor, it would have shaved that goalpost clean. I mean, that was as close as it gets
tight.
Without being a stoink. 36 yards for the win, 31-30, but my goodness, 27-0 was the lead for the L.A. Chargers, or San Diego. San Diego's probably very happy today that they don't have to
blame
this team.
The way the Chargers social media team, attacked us.
Let's take the high road.
Okay, you know, hey, something we can call
them. Go ahead.
We call them San Diego for a few minutes.
Well, look, stuff happens. And it's part of the craziness of sports.
Yeah.
And nobody could have seen this coming.
No.
We picked the Jaguars to win, but we didn't envision the Jaguars falling behind by 27 points
way.
And pulling
no.
a rabbit out of their butt.
Right.
And Brandon Staley, the coach of the Chargers, a guy we both like, not milking the clock, not running the ball when he's up 27-0 and doing everything he can to shorten the game and limit the opportunities for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I know you're not in the position very often to have that kind of a lead, but you got to be prepared for everything in this business. And Trevor Lawrence, after the stat line early on was 16 passes with 4 completions to his own team and 4 completions to the other team. That's how bad it was for Trevor Lawrence. To his credit, and I always look for this, Chris.
Yeah.
You see demeanor of quarterback.
Uh-huh.
The guys who are willing to just give in to the moment and just say it's not our day, and the guys who are unfazed by what's transpired, they've forgotten about it and they move on. And Trevor Lawrence proved to me on Saturday night, he's a guy that isn't going to just say it's not my day. Just
right.
I want to go home and I want to crawl into bed and, you know, I just want to be out of here. And there's the play that converted the 4th-and-1 and set up the game-winning touchdown. That's
right.
gutsy. And Doug Peterson explained it very well after the game. When they're inside, you go outside. When they're outside, you go inside.
Right.
And they were lined up inside, so they popped the run to the outside. And Travis Etienne, more than fast enough to get the edge and get the first down and set him up for the game-winning field goal. It really was amazing that the Jaguars pulled this off. It's amazing the Chargers collapsed, and it's amazing the Jaguars held it together and pulled it off.
Yeah, it's amazing. And, you know, we'll hit both sides. I think first, yeah, you said it right. Just Trevor Lawrence, first playoff game, 4 interceptions. I mean, we're dropping punt returns. I mean, you could have easily just said, you know what, like you said, it's not our day, chalk it up, and yeah, we'll get a few, you know, token BS drives to make the score look somewhat or whatever else, but I'm not going to really pull the trigger and make aggressive throws down the field to try to bring us back. But Doug Peterson did a great job of getting him easy completions early on when they were in their comeback. But this is how it all unfolded where they got behind. Little unlucky, right guard gets beat, tip pass. This a 4th down call. I mean, this is my issue with the playoffs. This pass interference all year
yep.
long in the first quarter, not in the playoffs. Evan Engram here, hey, I don't know if he's supposed to sit down or continue to run. Either way, Trevor Lawrence should not throw that ball and know that's a Tampa 2 coverage there. Here's another example of the Chargers had a great feel early on for how the Jaguars wanted to attack them, right? I mean, Asante Samuel ran that route for Evan Engram,
yeah.
basically. But, yeah, great defensive play. Trevor doing some, you know, dumb stuff, bad decisions, errant throws, whatever else. And, you know, they were sitting there and you're just going, oh, man, I mean, Chargers got all the momentum. And can the Jaguars really mount a comeback or do anything? And I think that drive before the half to get a touchdown before the half was really the thing that at least gave them a little confidence to get going.
And that's the thing. You can't view the score as bigger than it really is, because 27-0 is basically 4-0, right? A touchdown gives you 7.
Yep.
I mean, it's simple, but you get intimidated by the number.
Right.
It's not as big as it looks, and I think that's one of the reasons why we're seeing these comebacks. Teams aren't letting themselves become overwhelmed by that score. Just keep doing what you do. Keep chipping away. Whether it's the Vikings down 33-0 to the Colts, or the Jaguars down 27-0 to the Chargers, or the Jaguars down 27-10 to the Cowboys. I mean, the Jaguars have learned that it's temporary, and we can hold it together and we can get it done. Here's Trevor Lawrence on how he managed to stay level-headed after a very difficult first half of football.
Honestly, didn't have a choice. You know, we've come this far, and those guys are dependent on me. And, you know, to win games in general in this league, but especially the playoffs, quarterback has to play well. Wasn't playing well, and I knew it was going to take a lot to turn it around, but I told the guys in the huddle, there's no 27-point plays. You know, it's going to be one play at a time. And that's what it took, one play at a time all the way down the field, just again and again and again. And all we can do at this point, we dug ourselves in this hole, all we can do is just try to score every drive, you know, then trust our defense. And if they get a stop, great, give us another chance to score. If they don't, great, we'll get the ball back, we'll go score again. So that was our mindset. And you got to keep playing with confidence. That was the one thing, just self-talk in my head. You know, you're going back and forth. It's tough, you know, when you're struggling and not playing well. But if I don't continue to be myself, we don't have a shot to win, because, you know, then I'm going to miss the plays that I usually make. So I just had to keep my confidence, missed a few throws, you know, I think, where, you know, some of those turnovers where I was being a little cautious, just, you know. So after that, I felt like I kind of got back on track and settled in.
Great observation. He told his teammates there are no 27-point plays. So you got to take it one play at a time, one drive at a time, take care of business, hope the defense gets you some stops, and just focus on what you can control. And it worked. And this is something that Tom Brady says all the time. In football, winning is about not losing. Right. And the Chargers kind of lost it.
Exactly. Right. Right.
Up 27-0, they lost it. They mismanagement. They ran the ball too much. Yeah. They left too much time on the clock. Right. I mean, anybody that plays Madden knows what you do when you go into clock kill mode. You run it all. You don't feel guilty about running it all the way down to zero before you snap the ball. You run. Every second counts. Those seconds add up. They become minutes. They become drives. They become opportunities that the other team won't have. The Chargers gave the Jaguars too many opportunities to come back and win the game.
Definitely, definitely. I think, you know, you can look at the Jaguars defense making some stops there earlier in the game that made the Chargers kick field goals, right? This one I specifically think about is it was 24-0. The Jags dropped the punt, right? And you're thinking, oh, man, it's over. Like, this game's done. Jaguars D hangs in there. Only, I think it's a 3-and-out. They kick the field goal, and it's 27-0. So there's some positives there. And also, to like you're saying, chances there where the Chargers could have gone up by, you know, 31-0. Could have been maybe more than that after even the Asante Samuel interception. I believe that ended up in a field goal drive as well after they kind of moved the ball down the field. And then Jaguars defense stiffened up and made him kick a field goal. So they could have had a much greater lead. And then I agree with like what you're saying. This is the problem when you can't run the football, right? The Chargers can't run the football. The team that was down 27-0 ran the ball more in the second half than the team that was up 27-0 or 27-7 when that happened. And that was, you know, they moved the ball. They had control of the ball, to your point, and had some decent drives. But there was too many parts of those drives where it was, you know, throw on first down, stop the clock. It was incomplete. Now we might run the ball, and now we're in third and long, and we throw the ball again and maybe get the first down or whatever. But there was too many first and second down throws was the point there. That was really where they, I think, you know, left too much time on the clock. You know, too many of that. And then really one of the big parts of the game that I thought was another huge turning point, Mike, was when it was, let me get this right, 30-14, and they get the quick touchdown, the 39-yard pass. Lawrence makes the audible, and he hits the post route to Zay Jones. That's when I went, oh, whoa. You know, that quick score that happened where you went, wait, they were down three scores, but now it's two scores, and they made that happen in a hurry, and there is enough time to come back here. And I thought those were some of the turning points of the football game. But you're right. Ultimately, their inability to run the ball and chew up a little extra clock came back to bite them in the butt, and that's why they lost the football game.
A key moment came after the Jaguars scored a touchdown. They made the score 30-26. We assumed they'd go for one, make it a three-point game, on track for overtime.
Yeah.
Joey Bosa unhappy, apparently, both because of an uncalled false start, which happens all the time. Left tackles and right tackles leave early all the time, and it doesn't get called. I don't know why it doesn't get called. Yeah. It doesn't get called. And then the this is the – This is the two-point conversion earlier. But he was upset, and he was upset after he was held on this two-point conversion. He said something to referee Sean Smith. And referee Sean Smith, like, what'd you say? I'd love to hear what he said. What'd you say there? And he wanted to make sure. What are you saying? And then he threw the flag on him. I'd love to know more about that exchange. That was the first one.
That got penalized on the kickoff, right?
The second one came after the touchdown that made it 30-26, and he was upset because of the false start, and he was held. Slammed his helmet down, and it's a comical piece of video. Here's the play. There's the hold. It's almost a Donovan Smith-style hold. They get the touchdown. You see the right tackle
a little early.
There's the grab. I mean, that's why he's frustrated. That's why he's upset. But you know that happens all the time. Throws the helmet down. Watch Brandon Staley. Here's your helmet. And then he gives it back to him, and he slams it down again.
Right.
And then I think Brandon Staley goes to try to pick it up again. So there's just a weird look.
Yeah.
But you take your helmet off in the field of play, you slam it down, you get penalized. It moves the two-point try from the two to the one. Doug Peterson said they probably wouldn't have gone for two from the two, but at the one, you got a 6'6" quarterback, you let him dive over the top,
right?
And you make it a two-point game. And you just kind of – it's another – I watched all the Rocky movies, the first three of them this just late last week.
Right.
It's just another one of those body blows that lifts Apollo Creed off the mat when you just feel like it's coming. Here it comes.
Right.
And getting that two-point conversion and making it a two-point game, it just felt like here it comes.
Yeah. I mean, that was definitely a point where you went, oh, man. Well, especially to your point, the Chargers, for whatever reason, even before Brandon Staley, had a little bit of a habit of doing this type of stuff, right? So it was almost like, oh, wow, let alone – you know, not that we've seen this team do this to this point, but we've seen some situations that I think we've all questioned and the management of the game and all that stuff there. And you know, they're a team that we looked at to go, wait, they're dangerous. They got some stars on their team there. If they win this game, they could maybe be that team that kind of upsets the apple cart, right? And all of a sudden we're sitting there going, wait, it's the Chargers in the AFC Championship game?
Chargers at Chiefs would have been a hell of a division
round
game.
It would have been scary. I agree there. But the Jaguars, their belief, their coach, who Doug Peterson, aggressive, keeps them believing. And then, like, to your point, I think they got a quarterback and a group of young guys that are – they're in it together. They're kind of feeling it right now. And that was just a phenomenal job by them, a very young football team, especially hanging in there. And what do you want to say with your little smirk?
I want to say a lot of things. We're running out of time, though. But I'm thinking of Doug Peterson and Andy Reid getting together this weekend, which should be fascinating
cool.
in Kansas City.
Right.
And the Jaguars, I think we need to give them more of a chance than I think they're going to be given. I think they could make things very interesting. But with the Chargers and Brandon Staley, I don't know what owner Dean Spanos is going to do. There's some reporting out there that they're going to stand pat. And Justin Herbert, the quarterback of the team, has spoken out in favor of Brandon Staley, and other players have as well. And we like Brandon Staley.
We do.
But at a certain point, it's a customer-driven business, and you got to ask yourself, are your customers satisfied with the product? And I don't know how you come back from losing that game. That's what you have to project going forward. And I'm being as dispassionate and objective as I can be here. It's like the Falcons losing 28-3. It's like the Seahawks blowing Super Bowl 49. Sometimes there's a reset button that needs to be pressed in order to get past that moment.
Right.
And what you have to, if you're ownership of that team, if you're management of that team, you have to think, this isn't the typical wait till next year. There's going to be some fumes of this. There's going to be some echoes of this that spill over into next year if you don't make a change. And if you've got Sean Payton available, and I know Dean Spanos isn't going to pay him $20 million, but you know what? Maybe he wouldn't insist on $20 million if he gets to coach Justin Herbert and live in Southern California and take over L.A. at a time when it feels like the Rams are in a rebuild. Yeah. It may not take what it would take someone else to hire him. I think it's a fascinating behind-the-scenes conversation that Dean Spanos needs to have, because at the end of the day, you do have an opportunity, if you're the Chargers, to take over L.A., given where the Rams are right now. And I wonder how much of what happened on Saturday night resonates into the future.
Yeah, it's worth watching for. You're right, because we know that's, I mean, the Chargers are a bright, shiny object that I think any head coach would, or any potential head coach would want, because of the quarterback.
Because of the quarterback.
Right, and then there's a few other stars there, too, that you go, whoa, we got some pieces here that I can build around them.
And it would have been nice to have Mike Williams on Saturday.
That's another part of the conversation here. That's right. It's going to be sports talk radio, and he's going to be having to deal with those questions and people questioning that decision altogether, which I will say, I didn't think was the craziest thing in the world. They weren't the healthiest football team all year. They kind of just got going playing the right way. I think they were looking at it like, hey, let's ride the momentum here and play in week 17 and kind of continue to do, you know, things the right way. I know. It backfired.
It's part of the risk you take. And when it blows up, you got to –
Well, that's where it kills you. We've seen a lot of teams take
the
risk and it work out, right? And you go, well, hey, that was good they played week 17. They hit the ground running in the playoffs and all that, right? But this is the risk of it, and it gets thrown back in your face now.
We're taking the risk of ignoring the folks telling us to take a break because we're actually in the building with them, and they can exactly.
I don't hear them. They're only talking to you.
Telling me to take a break.
All right.
Back with more PFT Live right after this.
Are you a LeBron James fan?
Yeah, LeBron, yeah.
Tweeted about you?
I did not.
Good game.
LeBron said that? Oh, that's sweet. Yeah. Nah, that's awesome. That's so cool.
Brock Purdy, the last guy taken in the 2022 draft, getting a playoff victory and getting a tweet from LeBron. I don't know which one would feel better.
Well, the playoff victory, but then the icing on the cake is you're getting tweeted, you know, by LeBron. That's pretty awesome right there.
And look, I made this point on Saturday night that the Vikings know what's coming. Even if they beat the Giants, they know what's coming. It is an ass-kicking in San Francisco or Santa Clara, because the 49ers are firing on all cylinders.
Yeah.
Credit to the Seahawks for making it interesting. They actually took the lead at halftime.
Right.
But, man, when the 49ers put pedal to metal, they are unstoppable. Christian McCaffrey, Deebo Samuel, George Kittle, that defense. And it really was the forced fumble. Geno Smith, that was the moment that it started going the other way.
Exactly, right.
That once they got that ball and they punched it in, that was when the dam broke.
Yeah.
The Seahawks were hanging around and hanging around and hanging around, but credit to the 49ers, they busted the dam wide open. The next thing you know, it's 41-23.
Yeah, they're amazing, the pressure they put on you on both sides of the football, the 49ers. The Shanahan attack, just all the different ways. It's body blows, it's haymakers. You don't know where it's coming from. And you know, yeah, credit to the Seattle Seahawks. But, you know, I think, you know, you and I will both agree where actually you might have still been in the car early on in the game. Brock Purdy missed some throws.
Yes.
First throw.
It's like, uh-oh.
Yeah, right. Missed that. Had a touchdown to Brandon Ayuk that he was definitely late with the football. I mean, he did not, like, he wasn't sharp early on to where he left some plays on the field. But Seattle did do a good job of hanging in there. And Geno made some good plays. And Kenneth Walker, a few good runs to where you went, wow, okay. You know, maybe they can kind of, you know, make some magic happen, or their defense can get a big turnover. And I mean, we're going to see an upset, but it was what we've seen all year. It was the 49ers pass rush just all over Geno Smith. That strip sack at 23-17 was the moment, because then the 49ers drove right down and they never relinquished power of the football game from that point on. They stopped the Seahawks, and then it was – then very next drive was fake the run, bootleg, hit Deebo Samuel on the crossing route, which was a huge thing for the 49ers all day, and he runs up the sidelines for a 70-yard touchdown. You were like, all right, night-night. The 49ers are unbelievable that way, and I think they're the hottest team in the sport, like we've kind of been saying here for the last 2 or 3 weeks.
There was a moment early in the third quarter where Deebo Samuel was tackled and Jonathan Abram – twisted the leg at the tail end, and a scuffle broke out.
Right.
You saw Deebo Samuel call for a penalty flag. Watch this here. Down he goes, and there's the leg twist.
That's BS. That's BS by Jonathan Abram.
And what that did, and what that does sometimes, what it did, it got everybody a little fired up.
Yeah.
Here's Kyle Shanahan and Deebo Samuel talking to the media after the game about the impact of the Jonathan Abram leg twist.
I was worried that he was hurt on it. I lost my mind a little bit on that. But, yeah, I was real concerned that he was hurt on it. You know, I didn't like how that looked. I thought it looked pretty bad, and the intent of the play. So I think that pissed a lot of people off. I think it pissed our team off, and I think you can kind of feel our team react to that after. I wish we were like that from the first play always, but sometimes when some stuff motivates the guys, I think it's cool to see us rally together. And I know Deebo was bothered, and it was cool he came back and answered.
I stayed down a little because I almost lost my temper. And you can see the definition of our team of IGYB, I got your back. And then second half, they scored at the end of the fourth quarter. Like, you know, you can have it. But at the end of the day, I felt like that turned our team up a notch. And as you can see, we just went out there and made plays.
And then you pretty much needed that time to get yourself under.
Yeah, 100%. It hurt for sure. But in my mind, I was about to lose it. But I just kept calm. And, you know, just seeing how Cal came off the sideline is true definition of our team.
You think I can pull off that jacket?
No, nor the chain or anything.
I really like the jacket, though. There's something about it where it kind of like it's so bright and the contrast
it's so crazy.
Sharp,
yeah,
it burns
right.
Your retina.
Yeah, yeah.
If you stare at it too long, you're not going to be able to see it.
He can pull it off. He looks cool. I mean,
awesome.
That's cool on him. I ain't going to look cool on you. I'm just going to let you know right now. It ain't going to work.
I'm at the edge of it.
I mean, on that, when he got hurt.
The jacket,
you know,
that I slipped and fell on today, that works for me.
Okay, good.
As long
good.
As I'm not slipping
yeah,
and falling.
Yeah, good.
On
good old timer jackets work good for you.
Thanks.
All right. But yeah, I mean, hey, they are chippy. We know that.
Yeah,
they're emotional. Shanahan comes out there, checks on Deebo Samuel. It looked like Shanahan was actually yelling at the Seahawks players. He was trying to make it look like he wasn't yelling at them, but he was looking at them. And I'm sure they love that. And they're just they're unbelievable. And the game plan by Shanahan. I mean, we know it's just how do they hit you, right, Mike? I mean, it's the run game. Oh, it's McCaffrey. Oh no, it's Deebo Samuel. And then the way. You know, I think we were also impressed was the way he marries the run game with the pass game where you go, oh, here comes that run again. Oh, no, it's not that run. And there's a guy screeching wide open over the middle. I mean, how many throws were crosser, in cut, off of play action where you just go, holy crap, he's wide open. I mean, that was the theme of the game. Crossers freaking galore. And they attacked the rookie and Tariq Woolen a lot, who was left in some really tough spots because the Seahawks had to sell out to stop the 49ers' run. And this is where Shanahan's brilliant. He gets in these tight splits. You can't jam people. And you're so worried about stopping the run that you see the second-level guys, the linebackers, the safeties, they're so worried about, let me get down there, tackle McCaffrey, that they over-pursue. And Shanahan's amazing because he has a yin for every yang, a zig for every zag. And that's where he becomes dangerous. And they're elite right now. And when he has something elite to play off of, like he does the run game, then he's got all the creativity that starts to flow.
The point I always make,
yeah,
they've got some key players, some badasses, roll out of bed and run through the wall,
right.
Keep them healthy, and they are going to be very hard to beat. Whoever
Definitely.
Has to go there,
yeah.
Whether it's Tom Brady or whether it's Dak Prescott,
right.
They're going to have their hands full next Sunday night for the 49ers. We'll talk. Coming up, we don't have a whole lot of time left, but we got enough time to get you ready for the big one tonight.
Because big one.
Somebody's going home, and somebody's moving on to Santa Clara when the Cowboys.
You like the Bucks,
tonight.
Huh?
I do like the Bucks.
I like the Cowboys.
I know. Well, maybe I'll get my retribution for last night, and maybe I'll like FaceTime you.
All right.
And bother you like okay. I FaceTimed you. I tried to FaceTime you.
Yeah, on the 24th. Right, I forgot about that.
Ignored me.
Yeah, you deserved all that badgering I gave you yesterday,
this.
You jerk.
All right, tonight, Monday Night Football, second annual Monday Night Wild Card Round game.
Right.
Cowboys
better than last
at
year's.
The Buccaneers. Yeah, last year's was not good. This one should be good.
Should be.
This one should be. Which it should be. And Tom Brady, postseason game of his career, number 48.
Yeah.
I think that counts for something.
Definitely.
Cowboys have looked flat lately. Dak Prescott criticized for his performance last week in Washington in a game that, as far as they knew going in, was relevant.
Right.
It became irrelevant. But
yeah.
I'm going to be watching coaching decisions very carefully for the Cowboys. And do the Bucs look like the team we expected them to be all year? Doesn't matter what their record is. They're healthy. Tom Brady is in playoff mode. You know I like the Bucs in this one.
I know. Yeah, listen, I understand it. I mean, I'm scared too. I'm interested. I mean, of course, the Bucs handled them in week one, right? I think, honestly, the Bucs, you know, again, maybe because they're healthy and better, here we go. That was maybe the best they ran the ball all year, other than that in the Seahawks game. To me, that's what it's going to come down to, Mike. That really is. First and second down, can they run? Because one thing that's – I don't think they can block the Dallas Cowboys in passing situations. If Dallas can get them into second and third and long, the Cowboys are going to win the football game. But the Cowboys are a small defense like we talked about all the time. There is a big offensive line there with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Can they smash it, control the clock, keep it in third and two, third and four where Brady's unstoppable? I think it's going to be really the story of the game.
Chris Godwin
right.
is the guy to watch.
Right.
He's
screens,
more than a year
too.
Removed
yeah.
from the ACL tear. He had three catches week one. I think
yeah.
he got more than that tonight.
I hear you.
Be the difference maker. We'll break it all down tomorrow. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
See ya. Go G-Men.